The ladies asked me to sing a song this Christmas, and so I'm going to try. I'm truly blessed in many, many, many ways. One way is that I have several mothers. I have several mothers. I can really relate to the Apostle Paul, who, in closing out his letter to the Romans, said, tell Rufus I said hi, and his mother and mine, his mother and mine. So I thank the Lord for the ladies in my life, who some of whom are like mothers and are mothers to me, and others are like sisters. And I thank the Lord for all of you. Joseph had to have really been taken back when his fiancée told him that she was pregnant. Joseph and Mary were living in a small community, Nazareth, maybe 200 to 400 people, maybe under 1,000 people at best, living in Nazareth 2,000 years ago. Joseph was a carpenter. Well, he was a craftsman. He was a skilled craftsman. They worked with stone more than they worked with wood, but I'm sure that they worked with wood as well. But he was a man who worked with his hands, and that's what the Lord Jesus was. The Lord Jesus was a construction worker in his occupation. Jesus was a construction worker, worked with his hands. And Joseph was engaged to a young lady who he loved so very much, and every day was a regular day, kind of like our days. Life goes on as usual. And his fiancée told him, I'm pregnant. Well, that to say that rocked his world is an understatement. And no doubt Mary told him how she got pregnant. And what do you do in a situation like that? He didn't want to call her a liar, but miracles are not the norm. Miracles are the exception. And Joseph just couldn't believe that a miracle had happened, because miracles don't usually happen. They're the exception and not the rule. And so he was going to divorce her. He decided to put her away privately. He was going to divorce her. But while he thought about that, he was told in a dream not to divorce his wife, his fiancée. Engagement in that culture could only be broken through divorce proceedings. And so the engagement was as binding as marriage. And the Lord revealed to Joseph in a dream that what Mary had told him was true, and that he was to go ahead and take her as his lawfully wed wife, though he didn't know her intimately until after the baby was born. And that when the baby was born, the Lord told Joseph to name him Jesus. Matthew 1:21, "You shall call his name Jesus," which is in the Hebrew, Yeshua. Yeshua, Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. For he will save his people from their sins. When you think about Christmas, you have to remember that they were just regular people like us. Just regular people like us. This song talks about Joseph. I pray that it might be a blessing to you. How could it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully. The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise the king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise the king? How could it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully. The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? How could it be? How could it be? He couldn't imagine what it was all about. Well, turn in your Bibles if you would. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. Father, open our hearts today as the Word of God is opened. May the dear Spirit of God speak to our hearts, we pray. Change us, Lord. Change me. By your Spirit and by your Word, Lord, help us. Lord, if there's one here never having asked the Lord Jesus to save them, show them their need of thee. Do a work in our hearts. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. This morning we're continuing our sermon, our study on the purposes of the Incarnation. we began last week. They say that the American economy would never survive were it not for Christmas. They say that the American economy would never survive were it not for Christmas. What would Toyota do without the Toyota-thon at Christmas? What would Walmart do without last-minute order online? We'll have it ready for you. That reminds me, I need to get by Walmart before 5 today. Yeah, Bonnie's gift. Oh, my. Oh, thanks for the reminder. Actually, I'm just teasing. But it makes a point, doesn't it? They also say that most people celebrate Christmas without Jesus. And you can celebrate Christmas without Jesus. Like Andy Williams said, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Andy Williams, I believe, is who sang that song. And he gives us some reasons why. Everyone telling you, be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings. When friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. And so, no mention of Jesus. Why is it the happiest season of all? Let me just remind you, there's marshmallows for toasting, caroling out in the snow, scary ghost stories, tales of the glories of Christmases long ago. No mention of Jesus. Most people celebrate Christmas without Jesus. You can celebrate Christmas without Jesus. Most people do. They say that the American economy would never survive were it not for Christmas. Of course, this has nothing to do with Jesus, but simply the excessive spending of money for frivolous gifts to family and friends. The world really doesn't need Jesus to celebrate Christmas. They have Bing Crosby, Frosty, Santa, the NBA, and the NFL. Andy Williams tells us that Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, but not because of Jesus, but rather because the kids are jingle belling, and friends come to call. But what about us? What about us? Last week we looked at the scriptures that tell us that when we see Jesus, we see the face of God. The eternal Son of God became a man to reveal God to men. God has not only created the world, he's stepped on its sod. And it's a sad sod, isn't it? It's a sad sod, this sod of earth. Because of sin, this terrestrial ball is no more than a terrestrial graveyard, isn't it? Men need frivolity to try to escape reality. Men need entertainment because they don't want to think about the reality of the situation. We're all like that to one degree or another. How many times have I said, I just don't want to think about it? But not thinking about it doesn't change the reality, and the reality is we're sinners. We're sinners, we're dying, and if we die without the Savior, we're eternally separated from him. But God has stepped down from heaven, as it were, onto this sod we call earth. God became a man in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. God, the eternal Son, became a human being without ceasing to be God. And so to look upon Jesus is to look upon God himself. And last week we noted the fact that he is such a beautiful person. He is the answer to our not only greatest need, but our greatest longing, Jesus. Jesus is, in fact, as the old song says, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. My heart broke this morning as I walked into Publix at 7:27, only to see a man walking out with a 12-pack of liquor. I walked in with joy. He walked out thinking he had it. But no one has ever found joy in a liquor bottle. And nothing good has ever grown in a beer garden. I, for one, can tell you, and others can as well, of the horrible misery that's come out of beer gardens in my beloved home state of Pennsylvania, let alone the other little places and towns of this nation. God became a man. We looked at that last week. God became a man to reveal himself to us. But not only that, notice in your Bible in Isaiah chapter 12, God became a man that he might be our Savior. God became a man that he might be our Savior. If you look at Isaiah 12, you'll find in verse 1, we're told, and in that day you will say, O Lord, I praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, Jehovah, is my strength and my song, and he has also become my salvation. Jesus. Jesus. You'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Only God can save sinners. No church can save sinners. No church can make anyone a saint. God makes sinners saints, and all believers in Christ are saints. We're set apart by God to God for his own glory. God saves sinners. God saves sinners through Jesus, because Jesus is God. Note it, if you would, Isaiah 12, verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. That's why Bev Shea sang the song, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. We idolize and envy Frank Sinatra. How foolish. We idolize and envy the entertainers of the world, the sports people of the world. How foolish. How foolish. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Note verse 3. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. Philippians 2, the Father has given Jesus a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and tongue confess that he is Lord, that Jesus is God. And so we have a song to sing, verse 5. Sing to the Lord, He's done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel. Look, in the midst of thee, right there on First and Main, right downtown, there He is, the Holy One of Israel in your midst. But people didn't recognize Him then, and people don't recognize Him now. Note it, if you would, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Did the woman at the well recognize Jesus? Well, you couldn't really recognize that He was God because He didn't look like it. He looked like us. He had a few wrinkles on His brow. He was tired after a 15-mile walk. When the others went to town looking for a subway that was open, Jesus sat down beside a well, Jacob's well. He sat down and went, "Ooh, I'm tired." Because God became a man. And as a man, He was and is fully human. Fully human. And there, sitting beside Jacob's well, Jesus sees this woman coming toward Him around noon that day. He asked her for a drink of water. She had a rope and a bucket. She could drop it in the well. She was surprised because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't really get along. "We don't like you. And we don't like you either." And so she was shocked. She said, "You, a Jew, are talking to me?" Because that's who God is. God loves all people. There's only one human race. And God loves sinners of all ethnicities. We're all sinners, and we are related to Adam. And so Jesus strikes up a conversation with the woman at the well, and He says to her in John 4, He says, "If you knew who you were talking to, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to thee, 'Give me to drink, give me a drink,'" Jesus said, "you would have asked of Him. It would be you asking me if you knew the reality of the situation at hand. And He would have given you living water." Well, here it is. Who is this one who can give living water? Who is this one who is not bound by the hatred of men, who speaks to not just a woman, which was highly unusual in that day for a man to speak to a woman? We have record of one Jewish rabbi who divorced his wife because she spoke to him in public. Women weren't valued in that society as they should have been valued. Women weren't valued then as they're not valued now. Not only by the elite of Hollywood, but by the news people of America who look at women with lust and sin and depravity. In fact, really, the human situation really hasn't changed, has it? But God values everyone. I liked what the governor of Ohio did this past week. The governor of Ohio he signed a law that you can't abort a baby girl or boy in your womb, once it's been detected that they're Down syndrome. You see, that's how they fixed the problem of Down syndrome in a European country. They said, "We've solved the problem of Down syndrome. How did you solve it?" "We abort everyone." But John up in Ohio, the governor of Ohio, said, "We're not going to do that. Down syndrome babies deserve to live too." But the ACLU is not going to stand for it. And the others. And in this wonderful country that I dearly love, we degrade women, don't we? Think of the pornography business in this country. Horrible. Women are looked upon as an object. But God doesn't look at women as objects. He looks at them as He created them to be, a wonderful individual with dignity and value. And Jesus speaks to the woman at the well. Most people wouldn't have spoken to her. In fact, most of her friends ignored her and tried to stay away from her. She didn't have a very good reputation. But that's true of all of us. We're all sinners. And here's a God who seeks and saves sinners. Do you realize you're a sinner? That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about God becoming a man that He might become our Savior. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49, we looked at it in Sunday school briefly. Isaiah 49, verses 5 and 6. "And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be His servant." The Messiah. "To bring Jacob back to Him, so that Israel is gathered to Him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Indeed," He says, "it's too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. Though you will do that, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, because the Gentiles are like all people. They're lost in a dense darkness and deceived by the god of this age. I will give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." And then if you just turn the page over to chapter 53, you'll see what He did to save us. Note chapter 52, verse 12, "Behold, my servant shall prosper, shall deal prudently, shall prosper, shall succeed. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. The servant is God incarnate. The servant is God. The eternal Son of God became a human being. But we couldn't imagine it when He was nailed to a cross." Look at chapter 52, verse 14. "His visage, His appearance was marred more than any man. Who would have believed it?" No one really, hardly did. Note chapter 53, verse 2. "He grew up as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. Can anything good come from Nazareth? When you looked at him, he just looked like a regular guy. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected. Pilate asked, "What shall I do with your king? We have no king but Caesar." "What shall I do with Jesus? Nail him to a cross." He is despised and rejected. He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. Verse 4, he's borne our griefs. Why did he die? He died for us. He's carried our sorrows. Yet Israel thought he was dying for his own sin. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But wait, though he was nailed between two thieves, he was actually pierced for our transgression. You might wonder if God really loves you. Does God really love me? Dear friend, he sent his son to an old rugged cross for you. Jesus died for you. He bore your penalty. He paid your penalty when he died for your sins. Note verse 5, he was pierced. The word wounded in the Hebrew literally pierced for our transgressions. Bruised, not just bruised, crushed for our iniquities. That we might have peace, the chastisement we deserved was placed upon him. And by his stripes, we're healed. Not physically at the moment, but ultimately, when we see him, we'll be like him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of his soul. The eternal Son of God became a man that he might become our Savior. Turn over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, the Gospel of Luke. That wonderful Dr. Luke, the medical doctor who was an excellent historian. Luke chapter 1. The Lord announces to Zacharias that he and his wife Elizabeth are going to have a baby, though barren their entire lives. And then the angel Gabriel announces to Mary in verse 26 of chapter 1 that she's going to bring forth the Messiah. Note it if you would. Verse 31 of chapter 1. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. The son is the eternal son who became a human being. And you'll call his name Jesus. He will be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary runs down to Elizabeth's home. Note chapter 1, verse 46. When she rings the doorbell, Elizabeth, carrying John in her womb, the baby John in the womb of his mother leaps with joy. Verse 44. And Elizabeth opens the door and says, "Blessed is she who believed." How happy, how blessed are you who believed. And there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Later, when Mary went back to Nazareth, Elizabeth gives birth to John. John's father couldn't speak until chapter 1, verse 67. The Holy Spirit loosed his tongue. He was actually deaf. He couldn't hear, nor could he speak. He was deaf and mute. But after writing on a piece of paper that the babe born to Zacharias and Elizabeth would be John, Zacharias speaks under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and look at what he says. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, verse 68. He has visited and redeemed his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Note verse 76. And you, child, John, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. When you turn the page and come over to chapter 2 and look at verse 28, you'll find that when Jesus was about 40 days old, a month and a half old, his parents brought him into the temple, and an elderly man was there waiting to meet him. Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ, verse 26. And when Joseph and Mary walked into the temple courtyard, Simeon went over and took the baby out of their arms. And he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. Looking in the face of this little baby is looking in the face of God, and looking in the face of the only Savior, the Lord Jesus, who is, note verse 32, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And so Paul tells us in Galatians 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem, to save those who were under the law. Lord, as we think about Christmas and the birth of the Savior, help us to think about you, to think about who you are, the eternal Son of God, who became a man without ceasing to be God, and who became a man to save. As the Lord Jesus told the woman at the well, if you knew who you were talking to, you would have asked him. He would have given you living water. As the angel told Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, you'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Lord Jesus, as you said in John 7, he who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And as the Apostle Paul put it so clearly in 1 Timothy chapter 2, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Lord, like the thief on the cross, when we turn to you and say, Jesus, remember me, save me, a sinner, you save sinners when they believe in you. In you we have redemption through your blood, the forgiveness of sin. You, Lord, have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What a gift, Lord, you have given us. When God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. And what a gift you give those who believe in thee. And the Bible says that whoever believes in you should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, that's who you are. You are the God who gives, because of who you are, the God who loves. And you love those who don't love you. And those who don't seek you, you have sought. And Lord, saved. Help us on this day, Lord, to begin loving you and living for you and desiring you and telling others about you. Help us to remember the words of Paul, who said concerning Jesus, to him who loved me and gave himself for me, that's the one I want to live for. May that be our desire too, we pray.